Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Planetary Makeover, this one live. And I have as a guest Ellen Turgeson, and she is a nurse, massage therapist, and both a spiritual and social activist. I had a little trouble getting that out, as this is something she just started doing. And she'll tell you more about the joys and the turmoils of being a newly minted social activist. Welcome to the show again, Ellen.
Thank you, David. It's good to be here. And it's especially good to be on Planetary Makeover as I tell this story, which is a little segment of a makeover in my corner of Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, tell us more.
Yes. As you said, I'm a massage therapist and I have my own practice in a building, a historic brick building that was built in 1921. There are 29 offices, tenants in the building, and 37 service providers, including artists and massage therapists, other therapists, childhood art therapy, psychologists. There's a church in the building. There's a shaman in the building and other businesses. And there's a Buddhist artist in residence. And so it's a great building with a wonderful feel to it. Right next to our building is an equally historic brick building built in 1914. It hasn't had such a good recent history because it was owned originally by a tent and awning factory. They moved out about 15 years ago and to a larger facility. And a couple bought the building and just used it for storage and let the building be unkept. The couple divorced, the wife kept the building, and she hadn't paid her taxes since 2015. So in the spring of this year, and so there's our building, and then the other building, the Gallagher building it's called, and then along the sides are two parking lots. The back one is for 25 spaces for us, and the side is the spaces for her building. She was evicted in April, and right away the city took possession of the building, which is their right, but they went to the city council and proposed, without any public input, to demolish the building, take away the parking lots, and make it parkland, because behind us is a park. So that all parkland, all green space. Well, we didn't find out until it was passed by the city. The resolution was passed by the city council. That was the plan in place. And my landlord let me know because it would leave us kind of an island between a railroad tracks and a street and the only building. And we were sure that the city would want have their eyes on our building too and make the whole space park. So what I did was I decided to try and save the building. And saving the building meant that we would have to change the minds of the city officials, the parks department and the aldermen. Change their minds and change a resolution, take out a resolution and put in a new one. And it was quite an ambitious project. And the reason I did it, I knew the why. I knew the what. The what was to get them to change their minds and save the building and hence save the parking lots. I knew the why. And the why was from the building standpoint that was going to be demolished. Right now, it's known ecologically that the most green buildings are the ones that are still standing because the energy that was put into making them, the energy that's in the brick and mortar, that when that is released, it releases carbon. And then to replace it and put something else in, it's very ecologically correct to save old buildings. It used to be to take them down and make a more green building. Now they're saying save the old buildings because the greenest building is the building that's standing. So that was one why. The other why, I wanted to preserve that building and preserve our community because so much good, so much healing, so much. There's also a church in our building and a 36-year standing meditation group that meets once a week in our building. So there's a lot of good energy in the building, and I wanted us to stay together because I felt that God likes our the energy that he has that to work with from the good that we do in our service and our spiritual work and our professional work in the building. So that was the why. And then we come to the how. And I had no idea the how in my secular life, how to save a building. But I knew this would be a combination between secular and spiritual, because my own personal life is completely a blend of secular and spiritual. And the spiritual, I knew I would want to work according to spiritual principles that I have learned from the ageless wisdom teachings that I've studied and read about and studied for many, many years. And if I may the explain about the ageless wisdom teachings, then I'll get back to the building. But I through all of this project, I would go between my spiritual life and then my activist life. And it was blended. And there wasn't any time that I wasn't doing this. So this kind of, I first heard about this happening in May of this year, and this is October. And actually the second resolution just got passed officially last week. So and it has, Ellen, a good ending.
Oh, Ellen, I just wanted to interrupt for a moment, because that reminded me of something you said during a 2016 interview, when you said that your peers who were politically involved weren't interested in spirituality, and your other peer group who were into spirituality weren't interested in politics, but you found a way to blend and combine the two in a most effective fashion.
Yes, and I call it being a practical mystic, a practical mystic in the marketplace. But the mystic part is based on the ageless wisdom teachings, which is a field of study that strives to understand the relationship between humans and the rest of the universe that we see, and also the unseen universe, the universe of God and soul, and those who have passed on before us, and those who will come after us, and those souls that are more advanced than us, our relationship to them. It's an attempt to better understand our own nature, including our spiritual nature, and how we relate to the spiritual aspects of life. These studies don't represent any particular religion, but they do encompass spirituality, including stillness, meditation, prayer. And we find these principles in many religions, and many religions hold them in common, have this as a common thread. Two authors that I have read and studied are Alice Bailey and Benjamin Krem. And some of the principles that I knew would be in play in this project was the principle of truth, service, goodwill, right relationship, harmlessness, unity in diversity, discipline, sacrifice, and wise effort. All of that would be part of the mix. And I also knew that I couldn't depend on just my personality to make this happen. I needed the spiritual guidance that I feel when I meditate and when I pray. Mm. But getting back to the secular, if I may, what to do. And there's another spiritual principle truth that's happening at this time. We're entering into the Aquarian Age. And the Aquarian Age, there every 2,500 years, there is a new cosmic currents coming in, and humanity responds to those currents. And it's an age. And we're just coming out of the Piscean Age and going into the Aquarian Age. We're not all the way in. The energies are sort of half and half, tipping towards Aquarius every day. So we're kind of at the dawn of the new age, and it isn't brightly lit up yet. We have to wait for it to advance. But the principle that it brings to humanity is seeing our humanity as one, seeing the unity in the diversity of human beings, and working in group formation. That's kind of the point that I lead to for my project here.
I was going to say, it sounds as if a lot of the principles that you mentioned that you brought to this work are part and parcel of the Aquarian Age. Let me see, what were they? Look at my notes here. Truth, service, goodwill, right relationship, harmlessness, unity, diversity, as you mentioned, unity in diversity, and sacrifice.
Exactly. Exactly. The age that we're coming out of, the Piscean age, emphasized individualism. So our whole age, we're building our sense of ourselves. We have that very well developed now as a human race. And now we take that individuality, the strength of being an individual, and sacrifice our own needs and desires for the good of the group, for the good of the group. So I built a community around me. I knew I had to work in group. I called people in the community from the Historical Society, from the newspaper, from the Historical Society, the newspaper, and the neighborhood associations and businesses around, and the people within my building. And I was told that I would need to have, I started the process. And I was told that we would need to have a letter to City Hall. And so I wrote the letter to City Hall, and I used the principles of truth. I made sure that every word in that was true and every concept was true. And it took a long time to do it. And I was told that I had to get a lot of signatures, because one signature isn't enough. But in case anybody's interested in spiritual or in community activism, someone that I consulted said, don't ever doubt the power or the influence of letters to City Hall or letters to government officials. I was told that this person from the Historical Society said that somebody from the House of Representatives in Washington told him, if we get 10 letters from constituents on any one topic, we know that we have to pay attention. 10 uh-huh. letters. So I wrote this letter, and I was told you can't just sign it yourself. Even if it's the Pope himself, I saw this by a lawyer who does activism. She said, even if the Pope himself wrote it, they'd say, oh, it's only one person. Doesn't matter. And so I thought, how will I get signatures? I don't have time to go knocking on doors. And she suggested, how about all the people in your building? So I did go door to door in my building, and we had 29 signatures on the letter that went to City Hall. And that letter was well written, and it was well received. And the Parks Department called us to set up a meeting. So we set up a meeting for September 7th. This was in June, and couldn't meet till September 7th. So we set it up. We were waiting and waiting. And by mid-August, he stopped calling us. He stopped responding to phone calls. It was kind of the strangest thing. And that was just a kind of a complex complexity of it, which I will kind of get to. But someone else told me that I needed to have a petition. This is something else for future activists to know. The editor of the State Journal, our daily newspaper, said, if a petition for a cause has 100, a petition with 100 signatures is considered a news event to the newspaper. So 10 letters is considered an event for government officials, and 100 signatures is considered an event for the newspapers.
Make note of that, listeners.
Exactly. That's why. So I got a petition going and had everyone in our building get signatures. So to have ownership and cooperation within the building, so that people, they had their signatures on the letter, and they had their signature, they had got signatures from the community. Every evening, not every evening, but several times a week, I wrote an email to everyone in the building telling them where we were at and what responses we had gotten, to keep everyone on board. And again, to be in right relationship with everyone.
And you kept everyone engaged. And I'm trying to think of another word, not just engaged, but enthusiastic, and felt like they had a part in it. So you effectively combated complacency.
That's right. That's right. And complacency in situations like this, I felt complacency, not from our group, but when I would talk to people about it, they'd say, you can't do anything about this. If that's been passed by City Hall, forget about it. And they said, don't even try. And one woman, the woman who told me to get all the signatures, she said, Ellen, I hate to see you wasting your time. Wow. I hate to see you waste your time. And other people said, there's nothing you can do. And even the lawyer had gotten my landlord had gotten two lawyers to look at the situation to see if they could make a difference. Neither one of them wanted to take the case because they didn't want to take on City Hall. So there is reason for complacency, especially since the Parks Department stopped returning my calls. But in the middle of this, I was praying every morning. I had an altar with a picture of the building, a candle, holy cards, and I'd pray for the building. And I was wondering if I was praying too much. I was starting to have spiritual, even though I was following these principles, spiritual doubts about myself. And I wondered if I was badgering God or annoying to God by praying for the same thing over and over. And because I wasn't very, very creative. It's just like, please help. I'd look at the building picture and say, stay standing, stay strong. I love that building. And I would go with holy card and go along the building and say prayers and when nobody was looking. And so I called a spiritual advisor in the middle of this in August, early August. And I said to her, I just want to know if I'm praying too much, if I'm doing the right thing. She gave me some great advice. She actually also built a building in the last few years. So she knew about being in the thick of political and construction projects. And she said, you're not praying too much. She said, your prayer isn't about God, actually. What your prayer does every day is puts you in alignment with your soul and with the higher energies so that those energies can act through you. You're invoking the higher good so that the higher good can come through you. There is a spiritual law called the law of free will that God or spiritual masters is sacrosanct for humanity. That if we want help, we have to ask for it. It isn't imposed on us. So she said,
I was just going to say real quickly, too, you must tell us before the end of the show. And let me just remind callers, we're also going to have about a 10-minute call-in period at the end of the show. And the number will be flashed up on the screen. You must let us know if any of those Debbie Downers, if you remember the character from Saturday Night Live, got back in touch with you after your success. And if you have any stories of that, save that for the end and let us know if you turned any heads around and changed people's minds. But go ahead.
I will do so. And it does have a positive ending. I'm just going to say that up front. But the spiritual director said two things. Keep praying. And you're doing your prayer for yourself, not for the benefit of God. We don't pray for the benefit of God. We pray so that we can be resourced by God, so that synchronicities can happen, so that grace can happen, so that we can have intuitions, so that we can receive higher guidance. And I felt that really, really happened all through this. But she also said, you need to work vertical. That's the vertical and horizontal. You need to contact the newspapers. You need to get community support. You need to have your building to be in solidarity. You need to have regular meetings. You need to work this. But she said you have a righteous cause to save that building and your parking and your building. But to save that building from the land, from being returned to dust, you have a righteous cause. It's a beautiful building. She said, so do your work. Trust your work. But don't cling to the outcome. Because two things, she said, the outcome could surprise you.
I was going to say, too, and you remind me of those three principles that the world teacher Maitreya is here to teach humanity: honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, both of which you've already outlined, and detachment. So tell us more about detachment.
Yes, what she said about detachment is two things. We can't program the outcome. We can only work towards a vision. She said, envision this building being cleaned up, being repurposed, but don't cling to what exactly it will turn out to be. Because two things. One, it often will surprise you, but it might even disappoint you. You don't know. There's a bigger universe at play, and you don't know what the bigger universe has in store. She said, keep doing the work, trust the process, and let go of the results. And that was very helpful. But she said, this also will take everything from you. She said, people who are on the spiritual path sometimes will get a project that will take you to your very edge. She said, just be reassured if you're going to your edge that's part and parcel of projects like this. So back to the building. So I knew that I could pray and I knew I had to keep working. And this group, notice the man from the Historical Society, the woman from the newspaper, the spiritual director, they all said, you need to gather a group around you. You cannot do this alone. You can't do it alone. For one thing, you can't do everything. You don't have time in the day, but you can't do it alone. And that is very much an Aquarian principle. That is the energies that are coming into the world now. And you had mentioned Maitreya and the masters. Whenever there is, just for the audience who might not be familiar, whenever there's a change of an age, like we're coming into the Aquarian age now, we talked about earlier, there's always a teacher, a world teacher, to help guide humanity in their response to the energies. The world teacher for the Aquarian age his name is Maitreya. And he's not coming alone. He is coming with a group of masters who are souls that are more advanced than us. But they aren't going to be helping us from the heavenly realm. They're going to be here now in physical form to help guide humanity in all, not to reestablish a new religion. There's enough religions. But to guide humanity in putting these principles into place in politics, in economics, in growth and development, in all aspects, in finance, in all aspects of human life. That's the new age.
And thank you for giving the audience that background information, Ellen. That's very helpful. And speaking of the person in question, Maitreya, the world teacher, you brought to mind another of my favorite quotes of his, which you alluded to earlier, when he said something to the effect of, I am the architect only of the shining temple of truth. You, my friends, are the willing builders, shining temple of truth being the new civilization. And your fight to save this building is like the microcosm of the macrocosm.
It is the microcosm. Exactly. I wrote down here, we have to do it. Every brick, every stone of the new civilization has to be put in place by humanity itself, inspired by Maitreya, who is the embodiment of love. Back to the building. The newspaper editor told me what reporter to call, kind of what the timing should be, and what to say to them. She gave me a nice primer on that. But I didn't call him because I hadn't spoken to the alderman who's in charge of this. And the reason I didn't talk to the alderman, I knew the right reporter would say, well, what does your alderman say? And I'd say, I haven't talked to him. And the reason I didn't talk to him was because I was intimidated by him, because he's been in politics for 25 years. He has a reputation of kind of getting his way as well. And he was the author of the resolution to demolish the building. It has his name on it. So I was kind of stymied what to do. And this is where the answer to prayer. I wasn't like praying, please help me find a way to talk to him. I was just, any letters were written to him, including in all the alders and all of that. Well, In late August, we still hadn't heard back from the Parks Department, but we decided to have our own meeting anyway. September 7th, we're going to have the meeting as a building and decide where to go from there. I was told in late August by a client of mine, I think there's going to be an alderman's meeting downtown, like a meet and greet, where they're going to have, drinks and snacks, and you can schmooze with the alders, the downtown alders. She said, it's sometime. And she went home and she called me back and said, it's tomorrow. And it's like, so the next day, within 24 hours, I was at this event at the public library, and there were four alders from the downtown area, the one in question from my district and three others. And I just talked to two of the other ones because I was still intimidated to talk to the one in charge of my project, but I had my notebook and I was very, very disciplined about keeping everything in order and keeping records of everything. And I had a picture of the building on the, in my notebook. I had a three ring binder that had everything. And I carry that around. That was like my master's thesis or my PhD dissertation. I never let go of that notebook. And one of the gentlemen that I talked to, one of the alders, the youngest alder who represents the university district, I told him why I was there and what I was advocating for. He said, you need to talk to your alder. And I said, I'm afraid. And he said, I am intimidated by him too. I am intimidated by him too, but that doesn't mean you don't need to talk to him. And he looked me in the eye and he said, I am afraid if you don't talk to him tonight, you will go home and have regrets. Imagine this young man, the youngest alder in the city council, giving me advice saying, I don't want you to have regrets. And he said, I will introduce you. He marched over to the alderman and said, Alderman, this is Ellen Turgeson, and she's got a story that you need to hear. I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, I'm sitting by this guy, and he's sitting by me, and he has to talk to the rest of the constituents at his table, and then finally, it's just him and me. And he looks to me, and he said, he said, I'm dying to know, who are you? Like, who are you working on this building with your notebook, and who are you? And I explained I was a tenant of the building and what we were about. And he said, are you the author of the petition? And I said, yes, I am. He said, I've seen the petition. And I thought, well, that's good. I almost said, have you signed it? We need support. We're almost at 100. But I didn't say that. Then he explained to me that the reason the Parks Department hadn't called me back and the reason it was that the sale of the building was in jeopardy because of a Supreme Court resolution, Supreme Court ruling that happened in spring of this year. The city was going to buy this building only at the cost of the taxes that were owed. They weren't going to buy it at fair market value. The woman who was evicted wasn't going to get any money for it, and she was actually made homeless and lived out of her truck all summer. The Supreme Court ruled on behalf of a woman in Hennepin County, it was Tyler versus Hennepin County, that is illegal. You can't, if you take a building for back taxes, you have to sell the building for the fair market value, take what's owed you, and give the rest of the money to the previous owner or the bank if it was mortgaged. So all of a sudden, that ruling caught up with the city of Madison, and they had to redecide whether they were going to spend an additional $400,000 for the building or let the building be sold publicly and redeveloped. And so that was when the Parks Department person stopped calling me, when he found out this sale isn't going through until. So it all got put back in the mix. The resolution was nulled because it wasn't legal. And so I explained to the alderman, and he said, I explained to the alderman everything. And he said, are you guys going to have a meeting? And I said, yes, we are. September 7th, the one we were going to have with Parks, but it got canceled, but we're going to have it anyway. He said, may I come? And it's like, yes. Would you like to? Because I had wanted to invite him, but everyone said, he won't come. He never comes to those things. He keeps himself well protected. Don't even bother. Talk about complacency. Don't even bother.
More naysayers.
But yes, don't even bother asking him. He won't. So, and he said, and I would like to come. I said, great. He checked his calendar. He was free. He said, and I will bring the park superintendent. And it was just 1 week hence, 1 week after that meeting, that meet and greet that I barely heard about. So a week later, we find ourselves as a community in the church space. It used to be a Tai Chi center. Now it's a church space for young people's church. Wonderful place. With a meeting with our building community, our landlord, some people from the community, and the superintendent of parks and the alderman and me. There we were, all together in one room. And the park superintendent started talking. And they explained that they are going to buy the building at the higher cost, that there is a parks acquisition fund that they're going to use. They want the building. They want it for the parks department because it's so the proximity to the other park. Okay, having said that, he said, we've reconsidered and we are not going to demolish the building.
So, Ellen, what changed their minds?
I don't, I think it was the petition. I think it was the community activism. I think it was that there was light being shown. This whole idea of just demolishing it. Of course, that's the easy way. Just take it away and plant grass. That's easy. But and that original resolution was passed without any community input in like in the dark of the night. And now, and this is what I wanted light to be shed on this and that and for the public to know and have a voice. And the voice was heard. Now, they do have an out over the they've buttoned up, they call it buttoning up the building. They've protected the building from the elements for winter. And they will do a structural integrity test. And if it's structurally sound and safe, it will be repurposed. And I suggested to him, couldn't it be that with all the activities in Madison, Wisconsin, in the parks and everything, that you could use another a building? He said, well, I don't disagree. And he said, we do value buildings and we'll, so they're going to keep the building. The new purchase price is going to be the fair market value. And the woman who was made homeless is going to get, I think, $390,000. So she will now be able to have decent housing and be able to sustain herself.
Very
Regarding the parking, they said, because, oh, one other thing we did was we made a roster with 37 names, what, like my name, what I do in the building, and how many years I've been there. The oldest tenant is been there 36 years. The youngest, there are several who came after the pandemic, 3 years, and I've been there 27 years. So 37 of us from 3 years to 36 years, and what we do there. So this alderman and the park superintendent, they didn't have a clue what we who we were, and now they knew us. They knew who we were, and they couldn't look at these people and these names and say, "Oh, you know, they're a bunch of day traders or something." These are real people doing. So they both said, "We're impressed with your group," and they were in our building and felt that good feeling of our building.
You put a
We.
face on the building. You
Totally.
made it human for them. You brought
Exactly.
humanity to it. It was no longer just a building.
And it was no longer diversity, it was the unity. We did put a face to it. And they were there looking at our faces. So they said, we will guarantee your parking easement for 5 years. Because after that, the park is being renovated and we won't know what the changes might have to happen. But we won't make any changes to the building or your parking without a meeting like this. And we don't want to be, and we're not going to take your building for eminent domain. We don't want to be your landlord, and we don't want to take your, we will not take your building. We only do eminent domain if it's a traffic, if it's a highway or something, but not just because we want the space.
Yeah, a
So
lot
my
can
land.
happen. A lot can happen in 5 years.
Exactly. And even between now and next spring, when they do the structural adjust integrity, we have been, we can visualize. That's, I'm very content. But what I liked most, David, so we got, and there's one more little chapter of this that happened last week, but we got what we asked for and what we had envisioned and what we had, were advocating for. What I wanted was, as I said, the alderman and this superintendent of parks to change their mind without losing face. I did not want a win at any cost. I did not want a win at any cost. I wanted a win that was just. No justice, no peace, but also no peace, no justice.
You didn't want to crush the opposition. You didn't want to use the sledgehammer approach. Instead, you used a more, not conciliatory, excuse me, but a cooperative approach.
Precisely. And the truth, I wanted them to see, there were pieces of the truth that they didn't know. They didn't know who we were. They didn't know that this woman was living on the street. A lot of things that they just plain didn't know because they just thinking between the two of them. And that's where group comes in. So these two guys had come together and decided, oh, this woman's being evicted. We can have the building. What should we do with it? Oh, let's just tear it down, do the park, and it'll be great. Okay, no problem. It doesn't cost that much. Let's do it. And they just did it. But they didn't have a group. So we essentially brought a group to them.
You made them your partner.
Precisely. To make the decision in a group setting.
And they got to help save the woman who owned the building next door. Save the building and save the owner.
Exactly.
On the streets.
That was just fantastic. When we left that meeting, what I was the most happy about, I was happy with the results, of course. I was the most happy, though, that we left in right relationship. The alder was happy, and he was schmoozing around like alders do, like politicians do, talking to my landlord, rubbing it. And the parks department had to go pick up his kids at school, and so he was trotting off and waving at everybody. And everybody was talking socially and saying, we should do this more often. We all should get together. And why don't we do this? I was so happy that we kind of pulled this off with everybody in the right relationship. That to me was the dreamy part of and I got thank you notes. And the reason I analyzed this in terms of spiritual principles for this program is I wasn't thinking in my mind of spiritual principles. I'm going to use truth here. I'm going to use harmlessness here. It was all in the mix. And it's all kind of part of how I think. And also I couldn't come to my prayer every day if I was being dishonest and cranky and bossy and individualistic. Then I couldn't come and pray to God and then go out and be, that doesn't work. One has to walk your talk.
And Ellen, you mentioned right relationship or right relations, and you brought to mind something else. The great teacher from India, Jiddu Krishnamurti, used to say that without relation, there is no life. And without trust, there's no relationship. And you managed to establish both. And going forward, you now have a relationship with City Hall. They know who you are and who the building is. And now you can go forward and negotiate this over the next 5 years and perhaps negotiate another 5 years or 10 or 15.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And what happened last week, though, it was the city council meeting to the new resolution at the new price. And they put in a new resolution and it didn't have any mention of the building, and it didn't have any mention, like the lawyers who wrote the resolution didn't change anything but the amount of money they were going to pay for the building. So there was no written proof of what we had agreed upon, that the building would be reevaluated for repurposing. We could keep our parking. So yet again, I thought it was all done. Yet again, I had to draw attention to myself and sort of be an annoyance and say, and I wrote to both of them. But again, this is where harmlessness comes in, David. Mm-hmm. I didn't write to the mayor and all the alders and the press and everybody about this. I only wrote to these two gentlemen. I didn't even tell the rest of the people in my building because I didn't want a big uproar. I just wanted some clarification. So I wrote to them, but I got some advice on the letter. I wrote another letter to the two of them saying, I'm asking for two amendments to this resolution, reflecting what we talked about in our meeting about the building and about the parking. Okay. And then I found out that very day that I wrote that letter that there was a meeting of the finance committee. And would I speak? Because it had gone to the finance committee, then to the parks commission, then it was going to be revoted on a week ago, Tuesday. And so I spoke. I found myself writing a letter over a weekend and then speaking to the finance committee. And in the finance committee was this alderman, and he was sitting kind of, and there I was. It was like, gentlemen, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this again. Why didn't you? You didn't do the right thing. So I just explained again with some composure. And when you're saying the truth, like the real truth, without any ulterior motive, one doesn't have to get up in arms. Either the truth will be said, and if it's communicated, and that's where when the spiritual teacher said, trust the process, but let go of the outcome. So my goal in talking to the finance committee and the alder and the parks commissioner, the parks commissioner patched in on his Zoom call on Ephraim's car, and the alder was there in person, and I was there in person. And actually, this was on Zoom. I was on Zoom as well. I just said the facts. This is what we agreed in the meeting. This is not reflected in this resolution, and I'm asking for two amendments.
Mm. Yeah. And since, since you had established a relationship with them, this was cordial and civil and cooperative. It wasn't an example where you're dealing, you know, in political terms, with vipers, and so you have to have a stick in the room. In this case, they had become your partners, in a sense, in the process, and you could actually work with them and negotiate with them.
Yes. Yes, and bring that. And they both agreed to change the wording. And in my email asking for the resolution to be amended, I put in two examples. Whereas there's a building and we value that, it was like sprinkles on a cupcake. I just put in everything that I wanted them to say that they could possibly say. There's a nice building and we respect buildings and we don't want to tear down build. Anyway, I put it all in there. And these communities got this parking, the beautiful community, and they got this parking, and we want the community to stay, and we're going to keep parking. Okay.
Oh, well, Ellen, I don't want to cut you off, but we will need to wrap up soon. I don't want forget about Perfect. Our Q&A like I did last time.
Perfect. I can tell the finishing touch. So they agreed to change the wording. The night before the city council meeting, they inserted my whereases with all of my wish list. Verbatim. Whereas there's a building, whereas we love the building, whereas we're going to try and save the building, whereas we have a great community here, whereas they park here, we'll save the parking. I couldn't believe it. It's in red. It was in red print. I couldn't believe it. Because at our meeting, somebody said, will this be in writing on the resolution? And they said, well, we're not going to, maybe if the lawyers accept it. But it was there. So last Tuesday, we won. And I wrote a thank you, a sincere thank you to these two alders. And I wrote a letter to my building saying, I want all of you that can to write a short note of gratitude for changing their minds, hearing our concerns, cooperating with us, and we've all met in truth.
Fantastic. How good you must feel. Now, before we start entertaining questions, which may be coming in soon, and we can go ahead and just keep chatting, and when someone pops in, we'll interrupt ourselves. Tell our listeners, what did you learn from this? And what would you like to pass on to others who are going through the same crisis? Oh, and if you could hold on to that thought, we've got Francis from Berkeley on line two.
Oh, hi, Francis.
Go ahead, Francis.
Hi. Feed back into my phone. What should I do?
It's okay. Just keep talking, Francis.
Okay. So my question is that You really created a miracle with this story that you've told. And I'm thinking, with all the doom and gloom around, and even people who are seeing all the protesting, it still clashes out there. So what makes you think that, you know, David said it was like a microcosm of the macrocosm, like we could apply it to the whole world, but what gives you any kind of hope to have it happen? I mean, you're talking about a miracle. When I talk to people, they just go, oh, you're a dreamer. That's my question.
Thanks. That's a good question. To live a spiritual life is to realize our own part in transforming our time. And we have to start patterning it now. In 100 years, how do we want people to be living in the world? In peace, in right relationship with themselves and the earth? Of course, that's what we want. To live this way now, for us, to live this way now, immediately makes it more likely that that's the way it will be in 100 years. But if we lose our way, and we can only live for ourselves and perhaps our group, if we lose our capacity to live this way, there's no doubt that future generations will have a less likelihood of living this way. To me, the best we can do is be how we want it to be. And not just in seclusion in our on our meditation cushions, in the world. Now, I didn't go looking for political activism. And frankly, it was tough. But when I was doing it, I walked my inner talk rather than being holy on the inside in my house and being inappropriate in my public work. So I don't know, but I do know that the reason we're seeing so much tumult now is because we're at the change of the age. And whenever there's a change of an age, the new structures are not grounded yet. And the old structures are fighting. So we're seeing ancient wars being reignited. And now is a time for humanity to declare which side they're on. And people are, if you notice, people are deciding which side of peace and war, which side of unity or diversity or division, which side of ultimate harm or harmlessness. So I would say live it.
So Ellen, you're setting the stage, setting the standard for the future. You're clearing a path. You're setting an example. You're showing people, yes, you can do this. To grab another one of Maitreya's quotes, Maitreya, the world teacher, he had said once, and this is in the author Benjamin Krem's book, The Laws of Life, don't say, I'm only human, I can't do it. You can do it. And elsewhere, he had said, anything that needs to be accomplished on the planet can be achieved by humanity. And I think you showed that in your fight to save the building.
Yes, and I do feel like this was a microcosm of the macrocosm. And I'm not saying anything much about me, but this process that happened, if it can happen here, I guess it can happen anywhere. And it makes a difference. A template has been set. And Benjamin Krem also wrote a book called The Art of Living, where he talks about the laws of life. And these spiritual laws, they aren't laws. they aren't. It's interesting how the word law, we think obey the law or hide from the police. These laws are not laws, spiritual laws. The law of harmlessness, the law of right relationship, these are spiritual laws. They aren't laws that if you break them, you will be punished. They're laws that if you follow them, new vistas can open. It's the potential. It's not the avoidance of punishment or consequence. It is the unlocking the key for the potential that following harmlessness and goodwill and service and discipline and sacrifice, what that can bring us. But unless we, as we said earlier, unless we do the work and we choose with our human free will to follow the path in this way, we don't get the joy of either a good outcome, which is great, or a less than favorable outcome, but the good feeling of how well it was done.
And now you're feeling that joy, Ellen, because you did it. Oh, and just in case our other guest is still here, thank you, Francis, for your question. We've got 5 minutes left. Perhaps we'll get another caller. But until that time, Ellen, why don't we go back to where you were before I interrupted you and tell us what you learned from this and what you'd like to convey to others going through the same struggle, remembering now that we have less than 5 minutes left.
I want to say don't be afraid, but what I really will say is it's okay to be afraid, but trust in the process. And like the spiritual director said, nothing happens individually now. One has to be in a group. And if one is going to be doing something like this, make sure you have some trusted friends that you can. I had some friends that I shared every email with, and they get, I do it together with others. Do it together with others. And it has to be done in a group. And I guess just, oh, I know something I learned. I didn't do anything that I couldn't do. I did what was possible for me. And I didn't try to accomplish the end at the beginning, step by step by step. I would do, okay, the next thing I need to do is write this letter. The next thing I need to do is get this petition. The next thing I need to do is contact this person. And as long as I could do the next step, I did it. But there were steps that I didn't think I could do, and I didn't do them.
I was going to say, Ellen, you stayed in the moment.
Absolutely. And something that a spiritual teacher told me as well is we're not, disciples aren't expected to do more than they can. They aren't expected to save the whole world. Just do the part that you can do. We aren't expected to do more than we can. It's not like, we'll never be asked to do. I think, that isn't there something in the Bible that we won't be asked to do more? Just let today's problems be sufficient for today.
That's right. That's right. Now we've got 3 minutes left. I wanted to insert something that I neglected to do either. I mentioned the author, Benjamin Krem, who's also an esotericist and an artist, who wrote a number of books, 17, I think at least, about this whole phenomena we've been talking about, the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya and his group, the Masters of Wisdom, who you also mentioned, Ellen, who are non-denominational and not religious figures, not looking for followers, don't want you to believe in them. They're simply humanity's elder brothers. And you can see the effectiveness of their teaching by seeing that all that Ellen accomplished here. And you remind me of something else. I don't think this came from the Masters. It may have come from one of us ordinary human beings, but one who is rather erudite, who said, and I'm paraphrasing, when you get to the end of your rope, when you think you can't take one step further, that is the time and place where the tide will turn.
Oh, I love it.
And you demonstrated that as well, Alan.
And the last thing I would say is pray. Pray. Do every action, accompany it with prayer.
And it could also be which is another form of prayer, meditating as you did,
yes,
invocating as you explained, you also did, visualizing, which you also did,
yes,
all of those things. And I think something else you also made reference to, another of my favorite quotes from Maitreya, nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. And you sure did act.
Thank you, David. It's been fun to explain this to people at Planetary Makeover. This was a makeover of Bedford Street, the makeover on Bedford Street.
If I were you, I would consider writing a story about this. It'd at least be a newspaper story, if not a book, especially if it goes on for the next 5 years. And until we have the book, we have you and your story, which you shared with us. And we hope to have you back on Planetary Makeover again, where you can share another success story with us, much like this one. And we were going to talk about, what about the, and we have 1 minute left, I think. It's time to close, about the naysayers, but that'll have to, we'll have to save that for another time.
They're happy. They're very happy. Everybody's like, oh, good for you. Right. Really? Wow, that's great.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, now we have to close. So thank you so much for the good news at the end. And we'll see you all again, I hope, on Planetary Makeover. And you too, Ellen. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
Thanks. Good night.
Us.
Thanks for having me.
And good night, David.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. And thank you so much.